When you try to get the mind in concentration, there are five qualities that can get in the way, five ways of thinking. They're called hindrances, nivarana. That's essential desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and anxiety, and doubt. But these aren't just obstacles to concentration. When the Buddha talks about the things you have to watch out for when you're about to die, it's the same five qualities, because they can pull you down. So you have to see the importance as you're getting the mind into concentration to fight these things off. The Buddha lists different techniques for dealing with hindrances. And if you see the hindrance as something that you want to get past, then the techniques work. If you decide that you like your hindrances, no technique is going to work. So you have to see the dangers posed by these things. And that's one of the big ones. If these things take over your mind when you die, you're totally out of control. Your mind can pull itself to places it wouldn't want to go to when it's in its right mind. But of course, when you're dying, it's very rare that people are in their right minds. They're being pushed out of the body. They'll grab at anything. So you want to train the mind that no matter what, you're not going to give in to these thoughts. So the Buddha talks about with sensual desire, there are lots of ways you can think about. One, the object of desire. This is why we have the contemplation of the body dividing into 32 parts, or thinking about how the body gets old and decrepit and then finally decays after it dies. And you ask yourself, is this something I want to get involved with? As the Buddha recommended, if you find that when you're dying you're still attached to human sensual pleasures, remind yourself there are better sensual pleasures in higher realms, up in the deva realms. And if you're going to be reborn there, it's not the case that you can't practice. Sometimes you hear it said that only in the human realm can you practice. The devas are too heedless. Well, there are heedless devas, but there are heedful devas as well. You'd be better off to practice there. As for ill will, the Buddha says, even if bandits were carving you up with a two-handled saw, cutting you into little pieces, even then you should have goodwill for them. Protect your goodwill. In the same way that a mother would protect her only child. Sometimes you hear that image used in another way, saying that you should love all beings as a mother would love her only child. But that's impossible. And it's not what the Buddha is saying. He says you want to protect your goodwill, as a mother would protect her only child. Remember, back in those days, there was no social safety net. If a woman had one child, her future life, future in this life, depended on that child, so she would take care of him with her life. In the same way, you should take care of your goodwill with your life, no matter what other people do or say. You've got to maintain your goodwill toward them. If it happens that you die, if you die with goodwill, you're going to go to a better place than if you die with ill will. So think of goodwill as your protection. Because it will happen as you're dying. Thoughts come up about people who abused you, mistreated you. And you have to let it go. Just say, well, that's in the past. I don't want to go back there. I don't have to settle old scores. Because with scores, say when you're playing a game, like basketball, you know when the beginning point was. And you know who did what in the course of the game. That way you can keep a score. But with all these many lifetimes we go through, where did the game begin? Who knows what the score is? So rather than settling scores, just to get out of the game entirely. As for sleepiness, that will be a big problem as you're dying. So you have to learn how to resist it now. Do what you can to wake yourself up. The Buddha recommends reciting in your mind any passages you've memorized of the Dharma. If you're sitting alone, you can repeat them aloud. If that doesn't work, rub your limbs, pull your earlobes, go out, look at the stars. Do a walking meditation if you can. If you're still sleepy, then he says, go to sleep, but make up your mind that you're going to wake up. As soon as you wake up, you're going to get up. Sometimes when we go to sleep, we like to forget the fact that we're going to get up. We just plow ourselves into the sleep. I remind myself I'm here temporarily, and as soon as I wake up, I'll get up. Have that kind of active attitude. That becomes a good habit. As for restlessness and anxiety, restlessness has to do with fear for the future. Anxiety has to do with fear of the results of bad things you can remember having done in the past. In both cases, you have to remember, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but you do know that unexpected things will happen, and worrying about them ahead of time is not going to help you. But you can prepare by getting the mind more mindful, more alert, so that when unexpected things come up, you'll be quick to figure out a solution. So you need to meditate. When someone's dying, the Buddha says, tell them, are you worried about your family? Are you worried about things you're leaving behind? Well, it's too late now. You can't do anything. Focus your mind on what you have to do now. Your responsibility now is to take care of the state of your mind. Now, these instructions apply when you're dying, and they apply right now as you're sitting here meditating. As the Jhans like to say, when you meditate, you're preparing to die. Because things will come up in the mind like this, and they'll pull you away. The image the Buddha gives is of a house on fire, and a wind comes along, and the fire latches onto the wind, and it gets taken far distances. So whatever you latch onto can take you who knows where. So you want to be careful. Maintain your state of mind as settled and as gathered together as you can. Finally, with doubt, this has to do with doubt about your own ability to practice, doubt about the teachings. Just remind yourself, you're not going to know until you try. Because sometimes we have our doubts and as an excuse not to try. But the only way you're going to know the truth is if you actually try. Commit yourself to doing the practice, then reflecting on the results, making adjustments where you have to, and keep on doing it. That's how you can overcome your doubts. So those are specific techniques you need to learn how to use now. So when the time comes to leave the body, you'll have a number of techniques to use, not to get pulled away in places you don't want to go. The Buddha gives five techniques in general to deal with distractions in general. The first one is if you notice your mind has slipped off, just come back. Come back to the breath. You've got to ask yourself, was the breath as comfortable as it could have been? Was it too weak? Because sometimes when it's very weak, you lose track of it. Other times, it's just simply not comfortable. Ask yourself, what would be a more comfortable way of breathing? And allow your mind to use its imagination to think about the breath coming in parts of the body that you don't usually think of it coming in and out of. See what that does. The second technique is to, if the mind keeps going back to that topic, ask yourself, well, if I actually acted on that, what would be the results? In other words, look for the drawbacks, because most often the things that pull you away are pulling you away to do things that would not be in your own best interest. So focus on the drawbacks. The image the Buddha gives here is a young person fond of beauty, looking in the mirror and suddenly discovering that she has a snake, a dead snake around her neck. She had a strong sense of revulsion. Want to get rid of that snake as fast as possible. Well, in the same way, you should have the attitude that any unskillful state of mind that comes into you is going to harm you down the line, harm you right now. So if you can see the drawbacks and realize that whatever lure those thoughts may have, you're not going to fall for them, then that can release you from them. The third technique, if that doesn't work, is simply not to pay attention to your thoughts. Think of yourself as being in a large room. You're in one corner with work to do. Well, let your thoughts be off in another corner. They can have whatever conversation they want, but you don't have to get interested. You don't have to get involved. Just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean it's yours or that it's worth looking into. The fourth technique is to realize that any distractive thinking requires some energy. There's going to be tension in some part of the body that enables that thought to stay in your mind. So find where that tension is and breathe through it. Relax it. If none of these techniques work, then the sledgehammer is to just, as the Buddha said, beat down your mind with your mind. Clench your teeth. Press your tongue against the roof of your mouth. To tell yourself, I will not think that thought. The Thai chants recommend repeating a meditation word really fast. Buddha, 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 Buddha. Like a machine gun fire. To jam the circuits. This is the method that requires the most force. And it may not be able to last very long, but at least it clears the air for a while. And it establishes the fact that this is not a kind of thinking. This is not a kind of thinking you want to get involved with. Because it is that change of heart that's the most important part. As long as you like your hindrances, even the best technique in the world is not going to work. But when you see they're dangerous, then you can change your allegiance. In other words, change your desire. We've been going with our desires for sensuality, our desires for settling old scores the way we like. We like our sleepiness sometimes. We like our worries. We're proud of our doubts. If that's the attitude, you're not going to be able to get past them. But you begin to realize that these are not your friends. And what you want instead is a state of mind that's still, solid, clear, all around. And realize that these things are simply getting in the way and they have nothing to offer. And they pose dangers not only now, but also down the line. Then you're more likely to use the Buddhist techniques and get good results out of them. So see these hindrances as dangers. The Buddha also lists them, many of them, as fetters. Things that keep you tied to dying and being reborn and dying and being reborn many, many times. So the consequences are dire. And it's an important issue right now. Are you going to side with them or are you going to side with their desire for true happiness? Because it is a matter of desire versus desire. Some people say if you desire concentration, the desire is going to get in the way. If you don't desire concentration, how are you going to do the steps that are needed to get there? And the Buddha lists right effort with the desire to give rise to skillful qualities, to abandon unskillful qualities. That's part of the path. So instead of thinking of the Dharma as opposed to your desires, you've got different competing desires inside. And it's up to you to decide which of your desires you want to identify with. You want to identify with the ones that would lead to your long-term welfare and happiness. That's when you're wise. So right now, let your desire for stillness be prominent. Your desire for alertness, mindfulness, ardency, let that be prominent. As for other thoughts, they're hindrances, they're obstacles. Don't let them get in your way.